about the waving. You got to scream it. Matthew 13 has several different parables of the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 13, verse 45 says this. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he findeth one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And the kingdom of God is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, plural, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that, Lord, breathes life into the Word of God. And we pray this morning for the message, God. Pray, God, you'd give these people here the blessing you gave me working up this message, Lord, and show them what you showed me, Lord. And unless the Holy Spirit does something this morning, Lord, and breathes life upon this message, it'll be all but a waste of time, God. And I pray your blessing upon this message this morning, and give us enlightenment, Lord. If anybody here that's lost, doesn't know Jesus Christ, doesn't know the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, maybe there's a child of God here this morning that's discouraged, Lord, and ready to quit, God, I pray, Lord, you give them that second wind this morning, Lord. Get them back in the ring, God. And we love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 13:45 and 46 there, those two verses there, they're two of the most controversial verses, by the way, in the Bible. And the Bible says this. It said there was a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. The kingdom of heaven was like that. And he went for this one pearl of great price. In the Mormon churches, they say the pearl of great price, the one pearl of great price, is the Mormon church. That's what they say. That's what they teach. One of their books is called The Pearl of Great Price. And I'd like to say the pearl of great price, just as well as the introduction, is not the Mormon church. Amen. Let me just say that. And there's some that talk about the merchant man, and some say, well, that merchant man that's seeking goodly pearls, that's a sinner that's seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and seeking the plan of salvation. And I like to say this morning, the merchant man is not a sinner seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the Bible says in Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, Brother Buck, and there's none that seeketh after God. If you're saved this morning, you got saved because he was seeking after you. Amen. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the merchant man in there is not a sinner seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he's not the one that needs to be found. It says over there that he was seeking goodly pearls, and when he had found one, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need to be found. He's not the one lost. We're the one lost. Amen. We're the one, that amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The one that does the seeking and the finding is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the merchant man is the sinner, then the one pearl of great price they teach is salvation. And if it's salvation, you have to buy it and you have to sell everything you got and go buy it. And you and I know you can't be saved by works. Not by works which we have done. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, you say it is, preacher. I want to say that merchant man this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that does the seeking, and the Bible said over there that he's seeking goodly pearls. Now, a lot of people teach that one pearl of great price, that's the church. I don't believe it's the church. Number one, I don't find any place in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking the church. You know who I find he seeks? I find he seeks as that one lost sinner that he's trying to get out of hell. That's who I find. And not only that, I don't find any place in the Bible where it says about the one pearl of great price. It says the Lord is seeking goodly pearls. He's looking for more than one. There's only one true church, the Bible tells us. But this merchant man is seeking, Brother Bunk, he's seeking more than one. But when he finds that one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. and he bought it. And I want to preach to you a few minutes this morning on the pearl of great price. You know what I found out? I got researching this message, and I hope you get the blessing I did, but I found out whoever wrote that book knows a whole lot about pearls. There's a lot about pearls that he knows. And not only that, whoever wrote that book, he knows a lot about pearls. He knows a lot about those sinners too that's liking that pearl. And I will give you a few things about a pearl this morning, that pearl of great price. And you know, in the world out there, there's a lot of gemstones. I mean, you got diamonds, you got carbuncles, you got topazes, you got gold. You got all kind of gemstones. But I want to say that pearl is different than any other gemstone in the world, Miss Carol. That pearl is different because that pearl comes from a living organism. I want to say there's the organism of that incredible pearl. You see, that pearl, it don't show up in the ground like another gemstone. That pearl is grown right here in this little thing. This is an oyster right here. And the only way that pearl can come in the world, Brother Dottie, the only way that pearl can come in the world is through life. And it was a living organism that brought life in the world for that pearl. And every one of those gemstones and diamonds, all they do is come from a dead rock. They come out of the cursed ground. But that pearl comes from life. And I want to say, if you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, you got it through Him and Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and Him was life, and that was the life that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. I got saved 41 years ago as a 20-year-old boy, and I met a man, I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and I met a living Savior. You know what I found out about these oysters? It's amazing about these oysters. How many eat raw oysters, by the way? Autumn's got her hand up. Brother, let's give an altar call right now. Now, I used to eat them before I got saved. But I did a lot of things before I got saved I don't do now. But I mean, I don't know. I've ate them, brother. You ever ate one, Brother Bunk? I mean, I'm just going to say it like it is. They just taste like a wad of snot. I mean, I can be politically correct, say it tastes like a slabble of mucus, but it doesn't taste that. I mean, they just go down and you can't chew it, you can't do nothing with it. But I got studying that oyster. You know what I found out about that oyster, Brother Brian? That oyster has a circulatory system. That oyster has a nervous system. That oyster has a respiratory system. That oyster has a reproductive system with everything there. And that oyster is just about like a person. And I don't think I could ever eat another oyster if I did, because I'd feel like a cannibal right about now. I mean, that thing is a living creature in every sense of the world. And that living creature is what brings forth and births that little pearl. When I got saved, you know what I met, Brother Bunk? I met a living Savior. Turn over to John chapter 4 real quick. John chapter 4. That pearl is different than every other gemstone. There's the organism of each of those incredible pearls. Every one of those pearls comes from life. Every other gemstone, whether it's a diamond, I don't care what it is, or gold, or carbuncle, or topaz, or rubies, it comes from the ground in a dead, inanimate object, but that pearl comes from life, just like that sinner that got saved by Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you got it through life. Look at John chapter 4. There's that woman at Samaria. And she comes up to Jesus Christ. In verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, said to him, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest thou givest the gift of God, who it was that saith thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked him," watch this, "and he would have given thee living water." And she looked at him, she said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. How are you going to give me this living water?" And Jesus said, "I tell you, the water I got, and that person drinks of it, he'll never thirst again." And she said a little bit later, she said, "Lord, give me that water that I don't have to come to this well again. Bless God, I got me a drink about 41 years ago, and I hadn't been thirsty since." Say, "What'd you get?" "I got some living water." John chapter 6, Jesus Christ says, he said, "I am the living bread." You know where that pearl comes out of? Comes out of a living organism. I didn't get saved by a dead Muhammad. Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. Joseph Smith's dead. Confucius is dead. There's only one Savior in the world that's alive. And that song says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that He is living because He lives within my heart." That old pearl comes from a living organism. We had a death this week of Muhammad Ali. They called him the greatest. And he may have been one of the greatest preachers ever, greatest boxers that ever lived. I don't know. I kept up with that a few times years ago. And I mean, the world's going gaga over him. You know about it. He's a Muslim. He died a Muslim. He died with their, at his bedside. I gave you that earlier. They were singing the Islamic chants. And I love what Franklin Graham said this week. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham talked with him, tried to get Muhammad Ali to accept Jesus Christ. And Franklin Graham said this, Billy Graham's son, this week. He said, "My father always hoped Ali would give his life to Christ. He said, I wondered if he would put his faith and trust in Christ before he slipped into eternity. I sure hope so." He said this, "Islam's Muhammad can't save you. Only the living Lord Jesus can save you." And I'm going to tell you, that pearl only comes out of a living organism, and you're saved this morning. You got saved by a living Savior. But they put him in the grave, Brother Bunk. 3 days later, he walked out. I met him 41 years ago. He changed my life. I want to say about that pearl, there's an organism of each incredible pearl. Not only that, I want to tell you about the origin of each incredible pearl. I want to tell you about the origin of each innocuous pearl. You know what the word innocuous means? It means small. And insignificant. And hardly nothing. You know that pearl that shows up? Them beautiful pearls? I got a bag of them here. Look at all these pearls, man. That beautiful pearls. Those things are amazing. Beautiful pearls, man. Look how those things shine and glimmer and all that. You know how that pearl gets started? That innocuous pearl, the origin of that pearl starts off as a one small grain of sand. Here's Deb some pearls right here. Here you go. Give this to Miss Freed and tell her you got her some pearls here. That's one grain of sand appears in that oyster, brother. One little grain of sand gets inside that oyster. And that oyster, that grain of sand goes in that oyster, and you know what happens? It begins to irritate that oyster. And that grain of sand gets in there, and it starts getting in there, and it cuts that oyster. And that oyster begins to bleed. And it begins to suffer. And it begins to bleed a blood called oyster blood. It's called necrae. And that blood of that oyster begins to cover that old dirty grain of sand. And as it begins to cover that grain of sand, Brother Bunk, that dirty grain of sand that he picks up on the muddy body of bank of that, above that ground of that lake, and gets in that oyster, that old dirty little piece of innocuous grain of sand turns into a beautiful oyster. You know where it comes from? It comes from a little old innocuous grain of sand that this little oyster that takes its blood and covers that grain of sand, and that grain of sand turns into a beautiful pearl. That kind of sound familiar to you a little bit. That kind of ring a bell. That ring a bell about someone that came down to this earth and shed his blood on that cross, and he took an old, insignificant, dirty piece of grain of sand like me and washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it turns out this beautiful pearl. You say, "Preacher, you don't look like no pearl to me. You look like that grain of sand to me." You know what? You're not looking at the right way. When God looks through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what He sees? He sees a clean, perfect, gray pearl. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He that knew no sin," the Lord Jesus Christ, He never sinned, "became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him." According to that verse, when God looks at me, He don't see the sin. He don't see that dirty grain of sand. He sees the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees that one pearl of great price He's talking about over there, and He sees me as righteousness as God. There's the origin of that innocuous pearl. Comes from that little old dirty grain of sand. You know what? I believe whoever wrote this book, Brother Bump, knows about pearls. And I believe He knows about sinners. And I believe He knows about the plan of salvation. And there's the origin of that innocuous pearl. God looks at me. You know what He sees? He sees the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing me without sin. And He sees me like that one pearl of great price. There's the origin of each innocuous pearl. I want to say something else about that pearl. You'll like this, Brother Bunk. There's the ornament of each indescribable pearl. There's the ornament of each indescribable pearl. You see, Donnie, when these other gems come into the world, they'll take that diamond, and what they'll have to do is take that diamond, it comes out, it looks like just an old piece of rock. And Brother Jeff, they had to get that diamond, they have to cut it up and make the cuts in it and polish it and make it shine so it'll be pretty. And the value of that diamond is the value of the cut. They'll get that gold out of the ground. I've seen them on TV. They'll dig that gold out of the dirt and they'll put it in a machine. It'll go out there and filter it from the dirt. Then they'll have to take it and cook it. Then they'll have to take it and smelt it and get all the impurities out. But bless God, when that pearl comes out, it's absolutely perfect. It's the only gemstone in the world. If man touches it, they make it worthless. They can't cut a pearl. They don't shine a pearl. They don't shape a pearl. They're none like any other gemstone. When it comes out finished. And Jesus said on the cross, He said, "It is finished."
Thank you, Lord.
Brother, there's an ornament of that indescribable pearl. See, my salvation don't depend on me. When man touches your salvation, when they try to come down and get you baptized, when they come down and try to teach you good works to get saved, you know what they're doing? They're making it useless. When that pearl comes out, God's plan of salvation, the Bible said that we're perfect in Him. Bless God, when I got saved, at salvation, it was done. When I got on my knees July the 30th, 1975, an old sinner headed for hell, old dope-headed kid, Pleasant Grove, Alabama, I got down on my knees right then, and I said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know I'm going to hell, and save me, Lord Jesus." And brother, I jumped up, and I was saved, just like that pearl. It was finished, and nobody could do anything to add to it. And if they start adding to it, all they do is mess it up. There's the origin of that innocuous pearl. There's the ornament of each indescribable pearl. I want to say something else about that pearl. There's the ornery of that indivisible pearl. The word ornery means vile. It means not too good looking. It means common. You know, you look at that pearl, that oyster, and you look at the ornery of that invisible pearl, I'm going to tell you, that old oyster don't look too good. I got this one the other day from the oyster bar downtown. I went over and asked them, could I have some oyster shells last week? And I got this thing, and I cleaned it up. Oh, it really looked bad. And I'm going to tell you, it smelled bad too, Brother Donnie. I'm telling you how to take his thing and scrub it. And they told me, they said, you need to clean it first. And boy, they weren't kidding, man. That thing just woo, woo, woo. And man, I began to clean. I let it soak in some bleach. Ah, it's not too bad now, is it? Man, oh man. I want to tell you, there's an order of that invisible pearl. Who would ever thought that inside this ugly looking shell, there's a beautiful pearl sitting in there? Who would ever thought, man, the day I got saved and asked the Lord to save, you know, dope-headed sinner, that one day I'd be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who would ever thought God could take this old ornery sinner and turn him into a child of God? Woo! There's nothing like it, man. It's the best deal I ever got, man. I'm going to tell you, brethren, there's an ornery of that indescribable pearl. Man, you look on the outside of that thing. I remember when I got saved, you look on the outside of that thing, it don't look like much. Right inside there, there was a bug living, by the way. I had to cut him out. That's how bad this thing was. You don't see many people wearing these for jewels, do you? Not too good looking. Of course, somebody probably would if you did it, you know. They'd follow you. But you know, inside that ugly looking oyster, there's a beautiful pearl, and that's just like when I got saved. Inside this old sinner, there's a child of God. That one pearl of great price. Who would ever thunk it, man? Whoever thunk this old atheist kid up here, I'd have never believed it. I still don't believe it. I've been saved 41 years. Brother Bunk, I'm up here sometimes singing these songs, and I know most of these songs, a lot of Bible verse, and I'm thinking, man, oh man, what happened to you? What happened to you, boy? I tell you what happened. I got hold of the pearl of great price, man. God changed my whole soul. I want to say there's the ornery of that invisible pearl. There's nothing like it, man. I remember old David Beard. Comes here some right now. His leg's messed up. Brother David, met him about 20-something years ago, preaching in the church I had. His wife got saved, Maggie. Brother David spent 17 years in prison. He is a bad boy. He's headed back to prison when he got saved. Third time, he hated preachers. Finally came to the service one day, and third service, Brother Bunk, after he came, he come down, he said, "Preacher, before I leave here this morning, I want to be right with God." And he got saved that morning. And I went that Monday night, I brought him a Bible with his name on it, a nice Bible, took it over to him, and knocked on the door. I'll never forget it. Miss Maggie looked at me, and she said, "Brother Terry, God has given me a new husband." Yeah. Woo! And I went down there and sat down, got the Bible, and Brother David had tears coming down his eyes. He said, "Preacher, if I'd known he was this good, I'd have got saved a long time ago. I'm going to tell you, inside that ornery cell, there's a beautiful pearl sitting in there." That old boy's been serving God for 20-something years now, man. I remember he got saved. I had people who used to come to our church. They couldn't believe he got saved. He was that bad, him and Maggie. I had people come and say, "I just want to come to church. I want to see if it's true that David and Maggie are in church." I said, "Yeah, he got saved right over there." When he saved 6 months, he led 33 people to the Lord by then. Got in there and serving God and serving for 20-something years. See what? He took an ornery old oyster, put that new pearl of great price in him, saved his old soul. There's ornery of that invisible pearl. I want to say something else about that. There's an orient of each indecent pearl. You know what they do with these pearls? You like this, Brother Bunk. They take these old pearls and they call it the Orient. I was researching about pearls and they call it the Orient. And what these guys do, these jewelers, they'll value this pearl, Brother Zito. And the way they value the pearl, they put their little eyeglass on and they shine a light on it. And the more light that pearl reflects is the greater value. That's how they value those pearls. How much light it reflects is called the orient of the pearl. And bless God, you're the most valuable to God when you reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's when you are brightest. Said about John the Baptist. Said John was a man sent from God. And he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. It said John was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. And me and you were not the light. We're here to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And they value that pearl, that orient, how it reflects that light. You know what the Bible says over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says this, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, that light through Jesus Christ, everyone's light reflects and gets through. And brother, that's when I'm at my brightest. That's when I can do the most for God. And God's pearls are the brightest and the most value to Him when we reflect that light of Jesus Christ. I don't have any light in me. Light I got is what Jesus Christ reflects off me, just like that pearl. Not only about that pearl, there's an orient of that incandescent pearl. I tell you something else about that old pearl. I found in a, whoever wrote this book knows a lot about pearls, brother. I'm just giving you a little bit this morning. I could give you a whole lot. I want to tell you, there's an organization of each individual, indivisible pearl. You know, a thing about this pearl, it's kind of amazing to me. This old pearl's not made to be alone. You take a diamond, most diamonds and rubies and all the other gemstones, they're okay being alone, but that pearl is the only gemstone where its value gets increased when you put it with a bunch of others. See? You don't see a string of diamonds, people wearing them. You don't see a string of rubies wearing them. But brother, most of the time when you see a pearl, that pearl is organized together. And I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, you're at your best when you're in the house of God with other pearls. That's where you shine. That's where you shine. That pearl was never made to be alone. It was made to be grouped together in that string. God's people are never made to be alone. They're made to get together and let that light shine. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Wearing that one pearl don't do much. Can't already see it. But boy, you let these ladies put a string of pearls on, man, and they shine. Same way with that child of God. You get alone, brother. It's kind of hard to shine in that world by alone. But I'm going to tell you, you get with the God's people and you get a bunch in the house of God and God's pearls will start shining. Hebrews chapter 10, look what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to, watch this, and let us consider one another to what? Provoke unto love and to good works. You know what provoke means? It means to push. It means to prick. It means to rib them. That Bible says we need to get together in the house of God. It says, let us consider one another provoke unto love and to good works, for the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together after the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as even much more as the time comes. That Bible says we get together because we want to provoke one another into good works and love. And when you get around God's people, see Brother Brian giving me, quoting memory verses. You see people doing something and you think, man, I need to do that. I need to do that. I need to be provoked. I need to get there. I need for this light to shine. And those pearls, they shine the best. Brother, when they're stringed. There's an organization. There's an organization of each of those indivisible pearls. Turn to Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Verse 45. I'm going to give you one more point. Matthew 13:45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Watch this. Who, when he hath found 100, when he found 100 of those pearls, he went and sold all that he had and bought them. Not what it says, is it? Said, and when he went and he found how many of those pearls? One pearl. You know what? If you would have been the only person on this planet, I got news for you. Jesus Christ would have went to that cross for you. You know what He's interested in? He's not interested in 1,000 or 100. He's interested in that one pearl. A great price. Oh, John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher of yesteryear. Before he got saved, he went and became a missionary to the Indians in Georgia. He's over there trying to get the Indians saved. He wasn't even saved. He was trying to get saved by works, trying to work his way to heaven. coming back home from Georgia. He got on a ship there with some German Moravians, Peter Boyle, and some, they were saved, Bible-believing Christians. And a big storm came on that ship, and they thought the ship was going to be sunk. And John Wesley was over there scared to death because he didn't know he was saved, afraid he'd die and go to hell. And those German Moravians, man, they were running up and down the ship, turning flips, all excited, singing hymns, thought they were going to meet God. They thought that ship was going down. They were fixing to be with the Lord, Brother Zito, and they were so excited. Hallelujah, man. And the ship didn't go down after the storm passed. Old John Wesley came up to Peter Boyle and he said, "Man, how do you know you're saved?" He said, "Why are y'all so excited?" And Peter Boyle asked him this, Brother Bunk. He said, "Do you believe Jesus Christ died for you?" John Wesley said, "Man, I believe Jesus Christ died for the whole world." And Peter Boyle said, "That's not what I ask you. I said, did Jesus Christ, do you believe He died for you?" See, the thing is, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? You see, this is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not between this preacher or this church or your husband or your wife or your parents. It's all about you. The Bible says that merchandise, that merchant man, he went seeking goodly pearls. Who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in that one. That's you. Look to Luke chapter 15. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. You know, one of the things that I've stressed in this church over and over and over since I've been pastoring it, and I've been trying to get it through you, we got to quit looking at numbers. We need to look for that one soul that's going to hell. We need to find that one soul that God has out there. They're all out there. I mean, there's a lot more than one. But the only way they get saved, the only pearl grows in that oyster is one at a time. And the only way they'll get saved is one at a time. And God is interested in that one pearl of great price. Look at Luke chapter 15. Look what it says. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees cried and murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he leaveth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice, I found my sheep which was lost. I say likewise unto you, there's joy in heaven over what? One sinner that repenteth more than over 99 persons which need no." You know what God's interested in? He's interested in that one sinner. He's interested in you this morning. Verse 8. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in heaven in the presence of God over how many? 100 sinners." One sinner. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in one. You know what happens to us a lot of time, brethren? We get lost in numbers. We get discouraged in numbers. We say, "Preacher, we're just not filling the church." I'm not trying to fill this church. If you're looking for somebody to fill the church, you got the wrong man. I'm interested in trying to get people out of hell is what I'm interested in. You can fill this church and not get anybody out of hell. I'm interested in that one pearl of great price is what I'm looking for. When you get looking at numbers and you're looking at crowds, you know what happened? You lose focus and you can't see clearly. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, there's that blind man. One thing I've tried to get to you in this church over and over is we're after that one sinner. We're after that lady at McDonald's the other day that Brother Zito led to the Lord. We're after that man, that 95-year-old woman that Brother Bob Smith led to the Lord at Walmart. We're after that young man I witnessed to at Ace Hardware at Springville yesterday, that one sinner. We're after that one person. That's the way you get them, one at a time. When you start looking at these numbers, you know what happened? You can't see. You lose focus of that one sinner, that one soul, that one pearl of great price. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 22. "And he comes to Bethsaida, and there met him a blind man to him. Here's the Lord, Mark 8. And he brought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and he said this, I see men, M-E-N. What does he see? M-E-N. I see men as trees walking. You know what happens when you get in the numbers game and you start looking at men, they just become like a bunch of trees. Look what the Lord said. And after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he resolved. He saw, what did he see then? Every man clearly. Because I'm going to tell you, everybody, you walk up in every place you go, to Walmart, you go to Public, you go to the gas station, I don't care where you go, inside that person's a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, according to that Bible. And you might make the difference. That one soul. God's interested in that one pearl. That one pearl of great price. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? Has there come a time and place in your life this morning? We don't trick you in this church. We believe in the old-fashioned gospel. We believe all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. We believe there's none righteous, no, not one. We believe we're all sinners. You say you're a sinner, preacher? Oh yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. I ask people all the time when I witness to them, have you ever told a lie? Of course I have. I said, you know how many lies it takes to send you to hell? One lie. I said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You know you're a sinner? You know Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, not a church, we don't push Pearl Lake Baptist Church. We push the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're interested in. We knock on a lot of doors out there visiting. Brother Zito's been with me. He's heard me probably 100 times tell people in that door, I'm not interested in trying to push the church here. I said, we'd love to have you come visit, but that's not why we're here. We're here to tell you about Jesus Christ. I said, I'd rather see you in heaven than in church. I'm here about the Lord Jesus Christ. Know you're a sinner. Know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Realize you can't save yourself, not baptism. Paul said he sent me to preach the gospel, not to baptize, in 1 Corinthians. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's grace. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Bible says it's a free gift. I come up to your brother Bunk and I say, here you go. I got a gift for you. I'm going to give you this right here. And then I say, okay, buddy. I said, okay, buddy. I said, okay, buddy, now give me $20. That's not a gift, is it?
No.
God has a free gift. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. You know what that is? That's a gift. So what do I have to do to get that gift, preacher? All you have to do is receive it. That's it. Bible said in John 1:12, it said He came unto His own, the Jews. He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Isn't that wonderful? It's that simple. It's so simple. One time in the book of Corinthians, Paul said, he said, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguile thee, that your mind should be corrupted through this, your mind should be beguiled through the simplicity that is in Christ. It's so simple. You say, what is it, preacher? Jesus said one time, he said, whosoever thirsts, let him come unto me drink. It's just as easy to know you're thirsty and you have a need and you reach over and you take that glass of water and you drink it. It's that easy. It's as easy as open a door. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come into him and he with me and I'll sup with him. But you know the thing about it, he'll knock on that door. But that doorknob's on one side. You've got to open it. He said, if any man open the door, he knocks. He deals with you. But you've got to open that door. Do you know the Lord Jesus? If you don't know Him this morning, I can tell you without a doubt, if you get saved this morning, it'll be the greatest day of your life. I got 3 beautiful children. I got 2 incredible grandkids that I love so much it's unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest day of my life was July the 30th, 1975, when I met Jesus Christ. Changed my life. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for